Chapter 30. Poppy and her posse wake up in Dick Dock, a public sex area under the Boat Slip Motel that was once the cruising ground of promiscuous gay men, now abandoned due to the Rimmer Renaissance. Last night's cruise had been a huge success, and Kent had told his daughter where to hide from Marcia. He knew how evil and vengeful his ex-wife was, and gave his tacit approval that Poppy and her followers must quietly take the law into their own hands. A police force that allows a Rimmer festival is not apt to care about a suitcase thief wanted in another jurisdiction. The cops are under orders to show tolerance this weekend and respect the extremes of this newly celebrated sexual minority. Some of them even flick their tongues in Rimmer esprit de corps. But Kent had to be careful. Yes, Marcia must be eliminated for the good of society, but he was a beloved public figure in town. He couldn't get his hands dirty. They would have to do it themselves. Rimmers had had enough. They were tired of being looked down upon by subcultures in the sexual underground, tired of being the last unaccepted tribe of oral outlaws. And the Rimmer dogs were a welcome addition. They're foot soldiers, if you will. Once these canines tasted ass, all past allegiances were off. These dogs are now their own best friends, not Lester's. Poppy keeps her new flying ability to herself. Well, flying is maybe exaggerating. Okay, rising. Whatever you call it, it's too special and unexplained for normal Rimmers to understand. She's not even sure if she understands it herself, like she did bouncing, shaking, and rolling. Are there side effects? She has asked Billy, but he's so private, never wanting to lead, he explains, only interested in setting an example. He does admit that floating, as he prefers to call it, is a burden. She's not sure what he means yet, but she has experienced headaches right after, and he doesn't deny that he has too. Weightlessness can bring on nausea, and who wants to regurgitate down on fellow cultists? Since you can barely stand up straight under Dick Dock, the rest of her gang can't wait to hit the streets where there's more headroom. They can at least try to soar, can't they? Marcia is already awake and unafraid. When she and Lester had retreated to the doghouse after last night's disgusting pageant, they had felt momentarily defeated. Those filthy dogs, all that work, all that training, a lifetime of Lester's extreme dog homeschooling wiped out, canceled by their defiant tongues. He knew dogs had special glands that led them to know another's history by sniffing each other's asses, but he thought he had trained them to conquer such predispositions. Thank God he was still human enough not to share this canine basic instinct. Marcia had suffered enough. But oh, happy day. Last night, Marcia had produced her first adult bowel movement. Not a pellet, not a cracker compost, a real live turd. She offered to show it to Lester, but he declined, and instead cooked them a big dinner, Portuguese stew, garlic bread, even chocolate pie. And then they had front door sex. Missionary mating, the way it should be. Even though her anus had been fully emptied, it was never entered once. Not by a penis, not by a finger, and definitely not by a tongue. Here was the rectal isolation that gave Marcia the final courage for vaginal supremacy. Rimmers must be punished, and the first to feel the pain would be Kent Samuels. Kent had introduced Poppy to what she guesses you could call her stepmother, except she's not sure they're married, like it wouldn't matter in this world. Rear-end Rhonda, apparently, that's now her legal name, is nice enough and tactfully ignores Poppy's attempts at being airborne. With the ass Rhonda's got, she knows better than to try and fly. It would take many jet engines to get this butt, a shelf, really, airborne. Rhonda's quite happy here right on the grounds of the Rimmer Carnival set up on the outskirts of town. Kent has taken the bouncing, shaking, rolling, now wannabe hovering crowd of outside agitators, literally, under his wing and introduces them to VIP Rimmers, who must go unnamed, who are flooding the midway to ride such attractions as the anus wheel and the mudslide. Rear End Rhonda has heard about the horrors of discrimination that have spewed from Kent's first wife Marcia's lips and understands she is public rimmer enemy number one. Now that Rhonda has become a sort of mother figure to the analinguists, she guards her social position with poise and a small dose of suspicion. Kent trusts all rumors, but Rhonda knows there can be bad apples bobbing beneath the seat of power. Like these dogs. What the hell's with them? Running in packs, rimming indiscriminately. Where's that nutcase dog catcher when we finally need him? Next thing you know, mongrels will be trying to fly like Kent's long-lost daughter. I mean, Poppy is sweet and all, but her friends. Non-rimmers can be tolerated to a point, but Jesus, Rhonda now has to deal with an ex-mother-in-law and her transitioning pet? That one called Lipa just fell flat on her face trying to, what, take off? Come on, you'd think they'd learn by example, but no. Can't they see Volta and Campolina have skinned their knees badly from aborted takeoffs? They might need stitches. Another one of them, and Christ, his dick is hanging right out of his drawers, runs up like he's on an imaginary skateboard and tries to launch, but lands with a thump right in front of the Dodge'em turd ride. Springboard Sam and Doubleback Barbara are rotating inside, violating the carnival rules with head-on collisions they hope will propel them to mid-air buoyancy. But instead of hovering, they smash into the sparkling metal mesh ceiling above and crash down to the electrical contact silver floor below. Poppy and Twisted Billy are managing to stay afloat at the same time across from the logjam water flume ride that affords happy rimmers a quick way to wash up between anal dives. But remaining up is not easy. Poppy and Billy's medical reactions are more severe than anything they'd experienced earlier. Just the concentration above is enough to aggravate their already pounding headaches. And now, nosebleeds. Oh, great. Are the metaphysical demands of being on the forefront of any visionary movement worth this? Before they can even have this rarefied debate, they see her, Satan herself. Marcia doesn't see them, but she does see Satan number two, her town crier ex-husband, and hear ye, it looks like he's found himself a new bullseye for his evil tongue. But good God, what's the matter with her? No one could have an ass that big. Lester sees her too. There's a moon out tonight. But Kent Samuels is worse. The pilgrim pervert, he's the one that will pay for making Marcia live a life scarred with penis prejudice, unable to admit carnal visitors. Lester takes out his trusty, heavy-duty dog nail clippers, the perfect instrument for their planned surgery. If these sharp little babies can hack through a Doberman's infected ingrown toenails, they sure as hell can slice off any organ this keister feaster plans on using sexually. But not if Poppy and her gang get to Marcia first. Collateral damage. That's all Lester is to these supernatural Avengers who are beginning to conquer gravity in the shared psychosis, often referred to by psychiatrists as folie à famille. Group madness. Volta, Lipa, and Campolina have almost given up trying to soar in combat, but Daryl is still attempting. He does give a flying fuck, even if that now can mean only rimming. Hey, Richard thinks, I'm gay now, remember? If anybody's ass is gonna get invaded, it's Daryl's, not Marcia's, and I'm just the dick to do it. Poppy's headache is killing her, but she knows it's time. She must end her mother's life with her own hands while her grandmother watches at the same moment. Poppy's feet will crush Marcia's lying lips as she uses them as a springboard up to freedom, and Volta and Campolina land back down on her from above, and Lipa follows like an atomic bomb. Springboard Sam and Doubleback Barbara can then shake Marcia, rattle her, and roll her, and even yodel about it if they are so moved. And Daryl, who knows? Maybe Richard can poke Marcia's eyes out with his gay shaft, but hopefully she won't be totally blind. She'll need to see their happy faces coming toward her to finish her off, bouncing her to death. Billy, He's so astrally advanced. He just stays up there to watch. Yes, there's a little turbulence, but up is still up. Nothing fazes him now. Come to think of it, he is now. Marcia sees Kent leading his backdoor bachelorette over to the anus wheel to buy tickets. She grabs Lester and they give chase, but these fucking dogs keep jumping out in front of them, rimming each other exhibitionistically in defiance of his unselfish past devotion to their liberation. It's now too late to attack Kemp. He's already seated on the ride, with her, waving to other sex offenders like she was a prom queen. You'd think Rimmer royalty, as these two imagine themselves, would have something better to do than rotate around in a ride shaped like what they really were, assholes. Shouldn't they be home writing Rimmer grant applications or organizing lick-ins at other pervert beach communities like Key West, Fire Island, or Rehoboth Beach, Delaware? Poppy struggles to continue air lingering, sometimes falling back to earth with an unmajestic thud. But then all she has to do is look back up at Billy, floating like a locust, disrupting like a bee, and she's off into the rarefied free zone of air they both have managed to semi-control. Migraines, lava-like nosebleeds, now combined with a sudden skin rash that resembles prickly heat. It's all manageable when you're united in the holistic divinity of payback. Adora has to signal Springboard Sam and Doubleback Barbara to help her drag Surprise away from all the dog rimmers to her final offensive line position in their planned assassinations. Daryl's completely useless now that Richard, ass level in the crowd, is searching for any willing male buns. But how do you rim when you don't have a mouth? These assassins may be damaged, but they're ready, they're willing, and they're more than able. But their victims may just die all on their own. There's a scream from above. It's rear-end Rhonda, and the car she is riding in with Kent is beginning to come apart due to her morbidly desired ass. Kent calls for help as he sees the bolts on Rhonda's side start to pop out, and the whole car begins to separate from the wheel precariously. Marcia looks up in a fury. This man cannot die accidentally. He must perish at her command. As the Rimmer crowd below cries out in fear, Lester slashes the air with his powerful nail cutters in frustration. He sees Poppy and her puppets coming at him, and Marcia with a look of intensifying magical hatred beyond his celestial understanding. They were fanatical physical fitness idiots before, but now they're downright scary. Campolina, without camp, vibrating with venom, headed straight toward him. Volta, shaking not with fear but a desire to annihilate. Leapa, rolling at him like an avalanche from hell. Together, they're the airborne children of the corn. Springboard Sam and Doubleback Barbara, well, maybe they still can't fly, but they sure can plummet, and who wants to be their landing strip? Adora, even that once grizzled senior citizen, looks like she's possessed with youth serum. And whoa, that yapping dog of hers, or whatever it is foaming at the mouth, but the foam is pink. Pretzel Boy, he's all straightened out now, gliding toward Lester like in The Thief of Baghdad. And Daryl, that pitiful excuse of an upper body hetero is daring to look at Marcia's ass with newfound lust, flicking his tongue all the while. Before Lester can come to her rescue, Richard, a feminist gay man at last, takes over, goes south, and dives under his balls, barreling back toward Daryl's own asshole. "Ow, that fucking hurt!" screams Daryl in shock as Richard jams his head up Daryl's anal opening. "How do you like it?" Richard yells back, muffled from inside, giving Daryl a taste of his own medicine and proud to be teaching his master a well-deserved lesson in sexual politics. Where, oh, where are Lester's three guard dogs now that he needs them? Surely, the lure of rimming is a passing fancy. What could feel better than saving the life of the only man who can still dominate you? In one final attempt at rallying back his troops, Lester howls out the most guttural, ferociously painful battle cry from the pits of dog pain hell, beyond rabid, over the top of abandonment, beneath the valley of hunger or animal cruelty, a helter pet shelter last hurrah against aural, anal, human canine supremacy. At first nothing, but then he sees him, Baxter, his first guard dog. He takes his tongue out of another dog's rear end, looks back at Lester, and barks. Once. Just once. Kent and Rhonda's car on the anus wheel comes completely unattached at one end and hangs on its side vertically. Rhonda slides down and struggles to reach Kent's outstretched arm above as he grabs onto the spoke of the ride, but her oversized posterior is her own worst enemy. The panicked operator, trying to help, mistakenly lurches the wheel forward, and Rhonda falls to her death, narrowly missing a floating poppy below, but seriously injuring several of the Rimmer faithful on the ground. Marcia looks up in fury at her ex-husband, who is hanging on for dear life, but suddenly, the other end of the car snaps off and Kent comes flying down at a high speed with that rimming tongue screaming right towards her. Lester grabs Marcia out of the way in the nick of time before the body lands on another woman, an analingus who they later learned had been in the witness protection program but was now definitely in the wrong place at the wrong time. Lester kneels down, slices out Kent's protruding tongue, and tosses it to Marcia, who flips it like a hot potato into her own vengeful mouth and scarfs it down. There, she's finally divorced for real. Thelp, gurgles Kent, before his blood strangles him inside his own Rimmer throat. But who can understand him now with this speech impediment? Nobody, that's who. As rescue squads and ambulances move onto the accident scene, Lester reaches into the dead Rimmer's purse, grabs her fictitious government-supplied passport, and replaces it with Marcia's ID out of his pocket. Marcia and Lester lock eyes. Liar mouth, he whispers in code. She knows what that means. Time to invent an alternative reality, a reinvented truth. Marcia pockets the new identification and quickly throws herself into the pile of injured bodies, covering herself with the carnival ground's dirt and gravel, and playing dead like the liar mouse she once was. Lester cradles her lifeless body in his arms and screams, "No, no, no," for Poppy and her brain-dead followers to see. It works. Finally, Marcia is gone, Poppy thinks. Her father had to give up his life to complete the vicious circle of generational vengeance, but what a gift. So selfless, so loving, such a beautiful thing to do for his daughter. Poppy abruptly falls down from hovering to the ground, but what does she care? Her burden has ended. She can finally sit still. Forget her futile attempts at uninterrupted movement that will only lead to mental frustration, physical exhaustion, and possibly death. Her followers can have their own lives back, too. Be unburdened people who don't have to prove anything. Volta and Lipa can be stationary for once. Campolina can be light on her feet because of gayness, not some otherworldly passion for upward mobility. Springboard Sam and Doubleback Barbara will never have to bounce, shake, or roll again. They can concentrate on soaring metaphorically into well-deserved yodeling fame. Daryl, well, now that Marcia's dead, he can have sex with her. He's not that fucked up. Maybe he'll find another domineering woman who will treat him badly while he stands still. Richard, can he go back to the everyday joys of urination and learn his place, gay or straight, in the natural order of things? Her own grandmother, Adora, can finally retire and pretend she never heard of rolling, rimming, or rising. Once she stops shaking, Surprise will be totally accepted in the extreme pet world by all breeds and finally free to live in harmony with domesticity, away from the anarchy of the rimming outlaw lifestyle. And Twisted Billy, so humble, so lovely, so peaceful, maybe now that he no longer carries the heavy responsibility of spiritual discovery, he can live free and just be himself. Not Twisted Billy, just Billy. Plain old Billy. Yes, the journey to rise above, below, and beyond the human condition that began on a trampoline and ended at a Rimmer Festival has at last come to an end. Poppy, Volta, Lipa, Campolina, Springboard Sam, Doubleback Barbara, Billy, Adora, Surprise, Daryl, and Richard can be content right here on Earth, terra firma. Feet planted on solid ground with no powers. Look at them. Can they be happy? Happy at last?